I'm on?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It's October 20th, our time is 9:11, we're running just a few minutes behind. Roll call, please.
Congressman Shaw. Congresswoman Edwards. Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congressman Supernov.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here. I'd like to mention right now that Congressman Edwards is on her way. Both Congresswoman Edwards and Congressman Shaw flew in from business trips last night very late in Oklahoma City, and they're both trying to get here to the meeting, so just I'd like to mention that. Prayer, Congressman Mason, would you please lead us in a word of prayer this morning?
Thank you. Almighty Father God, we come this morning and we say thank you again for the privilege of life and the breath of life that you've given each and every one of us this day. Be with us now in this building, this place now that's becoming a hallowed place where business and decisions are made for the people, Almighty Father God. Discussions and concerns, compliments and all come with the day, Almighty Father, a day which you have given us. So we thank you for the day to come, Almighty Father. Be with us as we go through this morning session, Almighty Father, and the decisions to be made, and the numbers that we look at, and dollars and the cents, and all of those things that go along with the movement of our government for the betterment of our people. Be with all those at this table, Almighty Father God, to make decisions come from you. Be within us and in our hearts and our minds and our ears, our mouths, that we will say and hear and do the things that's pleasing not only to you, Almighty Father, especially to you, but for our people. Thank you for all these privileges. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you, Congressman. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. So we're having some technical difficulties with our lighting, but we have some good natural light coming in through the windows. So.
Second.
May I ask one question in this discussion? Okay, excuse me. I don't need to ask that question. Is there any more discussion or motion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Next item on the agenda is discussion of the Osage Nation audit. We received a letter, the speaker received a letter. Excuse me, just one moment, please. That was escaping, right? Do we get any? That's not what I was wanting. I'm looking for. Unless there's more attached to that, how many pages are there in that document?
10.
Probably not what I'm looking for. We received a letter, or the speaker received a letter, September 20th, and I believe it's been distributed to all of us, from the treasurer. In this letter, he's asking of the speaker, or he's letting the speaker know that he's pleased with Rose Rock CPA firm who performed the FY16 audit, and his recommendation is to engage them for a 3-year period. I believe that the contract that they're currently under was just a year contract or a year with option to renew. Is that what it was?
Actually, I asked them to prepare a letter for 1 year and prepare a separate letter for a 3-year period.
Okay.
So we would have the option of either of those.
And this was upon initial engagement that we engaged them for a year and then we have an option to renew?
Well, actually, you do the engagement every year.
Okay.
Every year. Well, if you choose to engage them for 3 years, then we wouldn't have to do it again for 3 years.
Okay. And so he's wanting to know how to move forward with the engagement with Rose Rock CPA firm. The letter said that he's pleased with their work, and that he makes the point that once you engage an auditor that they become intimate with, for lack of better terms, with your structure, and that every time you get a new auditor to come in, there's a learning curve that they have to learn how you're structured. So I've talked to some committee members in the Appropriation Committee about this to see what their thoughts were on it, and so I thought that this needed to have a committee meeting to see how to proceed in this effort. We do constitutionally approve the audit firm, and we have formed this committee, the audit committee. I don't know that we've actually ever taken a vote to form this committee or not. Maybe we need to do that today to be able to make decisions about the audit. So there's a couple of things we need to discuss. So I guess first we should decide if this appropriations committee is going to be the audit committee and make a motion for us to act in that capacity. Clerk, how do you see that according to our rules? Did we ever amend the rules to state that? Probably not. I don't think we did. Okay. So those are the things that are on the table. Is there any discussion about us being the audit committee? I guess I'm going to start there. Congressman.
Opinion, I don't know. I think this committee would be as good as any because it's kind of a cross section, has representative ever. They're appointed by different committees, so I think consistently this may be the one most likely to be representative of the whole Congress, even though it changes.
The clerk has found it in the rules for me. It's in 7.5 about the Appropriation Committee, and one of the duties and responsibilities of this committee under M is to approve the auditor for the nation's annual audit as required by the Constitution. A subcommittee may be established for this purpose. So I believe that we're good to go and discuss this without even appointing a subcommittee. So let's just go ahead and keep discussing that. So I agree with what you just said, that this were a sampling of all the congressional committees. And is there any discussion to?
I concur.
You concur? Okay, great. Okay, so then yes, go ahead, Congressman.
But I would like to discuss, are we going to try to go to a nationwide comprehensive audit as we discussed this year, this next year? And if so, do we have to do some preliminary work or legislation under that system, the entities like the LLC pay their proportionate part of the audit, each entity that they audit pays their share. But do we need to make any changes in legislation to see that that's done? I'm sure about that.
I saw Mr. Gill here just slip by a minute ago, and I could give you my thoughts on that, but, and I will briefly. I don't believe that we've done the legislation to make that be the law. I think that quite possibly the executive could make that executive decision to handle it that way. And if they choose not to, then we could be a point of law trade. We have a question for you. Peggy, do you want to give him the, do you want to?
Trey, if we were to go to a nationwide comprehensive audit this year, and each entity, as my understanding, each entity under that system pays their proportion cost of the audit, like the LLCs, do we need to do some legislation, or can we dictate that, or is that something that the executive branch is just going to have to agree to do? Or?
Yeah, I would think that would come from the chief's office. The chief is going to mandate the boards pay for their executive branch audits. So, you know, if he wants to mandate that they each pay for their portion of an audit,
or we,
are you, I mean, you have the option, I guess, of trying to do it through legislation, mandating it through legislation. But, it, you know, it's an executive function to require them to pay for executive expenses as an executive board. They're required to have an audit, right? So you could do that.
Well, let me step back and, Maria, you know, I wanted to submit a bill.
It's not pertinent right now. It's just something we might need in a minute.
I want to submit a bill that will do that, but my understanding is that once you amended something that would require that, I don't know if we fleshed it out or not.
No. The amendment I made to the Treasury bill was to simply state that that the treasurer would sit on a congressional audit committee for the discussion of engaging the nation's auditor and scoping its rent. Well, my idea was scoping what we were wanting to do, because there was quite a bit of discussion last time, last audit period, when we were looking at this, about maybe handling it in a different way. So I did not, and it was my opinion that where I amended the law, that it really was, it needed a section on audits, how the treasurer was to perform those. And I think that it needs to be, if we're gonna require a nationwide audit, and the treasurer head up the nationwide audit of all the entities, he needs to have some direction in law that that's how we want to move forward. And that wasn't amended into the law, Congressman Supernova.
But then it seems that if we were willing to do that, we need to, I guess, decide first, can we make that decision, or does it have to be made by the full Congress at the next special session? And if we did want to do that, how do we go about saying that it's done? We just have to talk the chief into doing it.
Well, Congressman Mason.
Well, I have an opinion as well. I think what I'm hearing firstly is that what we're talking about is a decision that is going to be something that
is going to be laid down not only for this Congress, but for the next Congress and the next Congress in order, in the procedure of auditing. What Cuggy is suggesting, maybe through legislation or law, if that comes, well, I would support that, co-sponsor whatever he needs to support that idea. I like the idea. However, I agree with our counsel as well that this indeed is an executive decision because it's under his umbrella. If we do it by law and bring it to the full floor in a special session or for the whole Congress to agree upon and vote on, again, I think it's another historic decision. And what happens is, what if the chief vetoes it? He says, no, I'm not going to do that. And somebody has to pay for the cost of the audit. On the other hand, if we politic and visit with the chief and he agrees that this is all right, then do we need a law to do that? Or does that give foundation, like I said, for the next Congress and the Congress after that and the next chiefs after that for them to do this audit nationwide if we're doing that? Because I think the people need to know this, where we are, where it all is on the piece of paper and the paper trail and all of that. I also just want to say that I have a great deal of confidence in Mr. Alexander as our treasurer, because he's CPA, he's been there, he's sat on Skull Creek Nation Council, he's been the Speaker of the House down there, and he's been through this whole kind of thing from a different side in audits and the business side of government. And we're still there. So I don't know if we need a law or not. I'm not sure yet. I don't know this first 30 minutes of our meeting, whether we're at that point to make such a heavy decision or not. Maybe we are. You know, whatever we decide is going to go down for the next step and onward for the next group. And it's an important decision.
I would agree. I'm going to say one thing and then I'll give you the floor next. I'm thinking if we want to do a nationwide comprehensive audit, that it can be put in the Treasury bill. But what I think I know just on the surface about our law, because I know quite a bit about it, is we would have to make amendments to the annual plan unless we put a superseding clause in there, because I believe Gaming Reform Act, because I believe that it dictates how their audit is performed in the Gaming Reform Act, and also the LLC Act, I believe, has some language requiring audits. I don't know how clear it is, but I think it's going to be just a more comprehensive review. Personally, I think it's something that can be legislated in the Treasury bill. The Constitution gives us the ability to do so. Mr. Gill?
I agree with you for the most part. I think that you can legislate, the audit, but the manner in which it gets paid is going to most likely reside with the executive branch. You can't tell him how to pay for it. He decides to pay for it out of his professional fees and not require the LLCs to pay, and that's the decision of the executive branch. We also will have to look at the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. Make sure that an audit of that nature would comply with the requirements of the Act.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments to Congressman Walker?
I have a question for the Treasurer. So if we're going to pursue or go down this comprehensive audit road, and a result would be that the Rose Rock or whoever we decide did the gaming audit, or in your review of Rose Rock, does that fall within their expertise to do a gaming audit? Or
they do some gaming audits for small Indian tribes. If I were the Osage Nation, I would probably do what they've done. That they have a bigger firm that kind of specializes in that. I'm not saying Rose Rock couldn't do it, but I think that the gaming gaming audits are a little more specialized and they'd be probably better watched over from the gaming board side. And I can tell you their audit's already started.
Okay.
Any more questions? I'd kind of like to pull the discussion back into the request of the treasurer to go ahead and continue to engage Rose Rock CPA firm.
Well, I think this discussion is very pertinent to that question. I don't think this is, because if we go for a comprehensive audit, it may eliminate a lot of firms that wouldn't have the facilities to do that. So, and if there's a question about Rose Rock's ability, I wouldn't say full speed ahead. I think the first question is, do we want to do a comprehensive nationwide audit?
Congressman Walker?
Well, I need to be more familiar with the timelines of the audits for our enterprises. Apparently the gaming enterprise is doing theirs now. Mm-hmm. What about the other LLCs and their requirements in their laws that govern them? Have they started their audits? I'm not familiar enough with their timelines to necessarily say, yeah, a comprehensive audit's a good idea right now.
To talk to that, I'm never sure if our LLCs operate on a calendar year or a governmental fiscal year, which starts October 1. Are either one of you completely familiar? Are they operating on, does anybody at the table know how they operate?
I'll tell you, one of them is not. The tall grass people have in their articles of organization and corporation, or organization and articles of operation, they're an LLC, and they have in there a September 30 year end, but they're not following that. I pointed it out to them I don't know how many times, and they simply are doing December 31st. The other ones that I've read about are all September 30th year ends.
Got it.
And like I say, there's this too. They're just doing it differently.
Well,
I think the gaming's on a fiscal year just like we are.
Right.
So, just because one entity is not following the law, we're going to make them comply.
I feel pretty like I have been in a gaming committee meeting lately where they were approving and engaging their auditor already. So I know that quite possibly has already happened. I know we talked about this during the last engagement period for the audit. I personally believe that if we're going to expect our entities to perform in this way, we need to amend the law and their laws that govern them for them to know, to telegraph, get prepared for this because this is going to happen. And so the treasurer will also have some direction too. So I don't, Peggy, I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't know that we're prepared at this time to make it happen after our fiscal year is already finished up and it's time to engage auditors. That's just kind of how I view it right now. I think it's a good idea. And I think that this is just the discussion we had last time, that we probably need to legislate this so everybody will be clear about it. I don't have the vision how to proceed at this point in time with it to get it all to come together and make it be a comprehensive audit for FY 17 without the legislation in place to do so. So, is there any, Congressman Mason?
You're saying we do it, the answer would be through legislation. Before you got to that statement, I was ready to say, well, how do we do it? How does this committee do that? How do we do that in a timely manner to make sure that we don't do it in a hurry and make a mistake? And how do we do this in a timely manner? Or is there a timeline that we set for ourselves to get this done? I don't know. So if we do it through legislation, then we need to prepare something for next special session, I guess, if that's be our end of our timeline. And then what goes in between it, like Mr. Supernaw was saying, you know, what step one, two, or three, or how do we best do that? How do we do that? I'm not sure. On the business side, you business folks have been through these kinds of things before and practices it. And I've sat here through our tribal audits in the past. They've been a little different, every one. But if we're setting something up in legislation, then it's close to being in rock, you know, as we set it. But that's okay, too, if we make sure that it's all going to be correct as we want it to be. And it has come from us, firstly, that we want it to be this way. I just don't know yet how best to do that.
Congressman Sipple.
Well, let me go back, because I guess we probably all weren't involved in this discussion, how that came about, but it actually began with the LLC. Sammy and I talked a couple of times about their lack of cooperation, really, we suggested, or our suggestion once during one of their meetings, that we go to this comprehensive audit based on the type of audits done by the Cherokee Nation. That woman, Miss Horn, came up here and made a presentation and gave us a lot of details about how they did it. But the LLC, the Osage LLC, their comment was that, they had a really good relationship with their auditor, and they didn't want to jeopardize that. And I thought, well, that's probably one of the problems that we've got, because they've never had a bad audit, yet they've lost $19 million. And no one ever pointed that out except one time. One auditor questioned that they had assigned $4 million of goodwill to a company they just bought. And he did comment that wasn't even a tangible asset, but nobody really did anything about it. So that's where it came from. And we actually started talking about this early enough that we couldn't have it in place. And this is why I don't want it. 20 days after the end of the fiscal year for everybody except them. They were on a calendar year basis. They were all students. So I don't know I think we should really seriously consider this, but if you think we don't have time, before we just discard the idea, I'd like to at least talk with the executive branch and see what they think about it. Or maybe Sammy could talk with them and see what they think about it. Actually, what do you think about it?
Well, I think that it's why I had two engagement letters prepared. I know you're contemplating getting into this a lot more heavier. A solution might be to engage them for a year and then conduct any kind of study you want. We'd certainly, my office certainly help you with any kind of study that you wanted to communicate with others. This firm is a Native American firm. They've already saved last year save $33,000 just in fees. I've seen them perform before, and it's simply the choice, a choice between a big firm with a fancy name and still getting an audit, maybe not by a fancy name, but you don't really need the fancy name. The big firm had you on the back burner and charged you quite a bit of money. And when I came on, came to work for you on May the 1st of 2016, the prior year audit had not been done. That was the first, I guess, first little engagement I had with them. And the audit was actually late that year from the big firm. And so I was done with them at that point myself. And if you wanted to study this further, there's nothing wrong with that. But I can tell you that as CPA firms that do tribal audits, they're already lining up their work. Roadrock has gotten a hold of us already, and I believe that they would, from what I'm reading about in emails from them and stuff, they would put us probably before. I think that's what I read about it. They'd like to get started and get it out of the way and do everybody else. If we delay it very long, we could probably not have that available to us.
Congressman Cipriano?
Well, are you thinking of engaging for a year to do a single audit of the nation or a comprehensive audit of all of the entities? I didn't understand what you
said. The audit that I would probably recommend to you today would be just doing it 1 year, and it is all the audits they do are single audits for us.
No, but are you suggesting a single audit of all of the entities or just?
I don't call whether they're single audits or not. It's if they get federal funding over $500,000, they must have a single audit. If they don't do that, then they don't need a single audit.
Let me ask it another way then. Are you talking about auditing just the nation up here or all of the entities under one firm?
Your audit report covers all the entities. The Tallgrass has a firm, BKD, their audit is dumped into our audit report. And there are two more LLCs that I think they actually perform audit work for. Anything, they just follow the tribal money, where the tribal money goes. And if you look at the reports, it has a pretty big schedule of all the entities in there that are covered. So nothing's left out.
Well, what you're talking about is an audit that's done by another auditor, reviewed by Rose Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what I'm talking about is Rose Rock doing the audit.
They could do that. They could do that, but I think that would be, and I don't know if these other entities have gotten their, got started or not. I don't know if Tallgrass is engaged BKD or not. I would suspect that they plan to do that if they haven't already.
Well, okay. I know exactly what you're starting and what you were talking about, how why we are in this discussion about a comprehensive audit for the nation. I just happen to believe that we haven't done the legislative work it takes to signal and telegraph out there to everybody, this is what we're doing. So now you don't engage your own auditor because the treasurer and this audit committee will review who we're going to engage. So just personally, I believe that our other entities have already engaged their auditors with their own funds. And I think if we want to do that, like I said, next year, we need to have legislation passed that clearly catches them in that timeline net, so they know that they aren't to engage their own auditor, that, it'll be done through the Treasury Department. But I don't feel like that the entities know that because we didn't do that. Could we do it now? Quite possibly. Would that maybe make them have to break contract with who they have engaged right now? Quite possibly. I don't know the answers to those questions right now, Cuggy, but I do know that they're already starting to work on their audits. In fact, the Gaming Commission meeting talked about it. I think that there's something in the Gaming Regulatory Act that the commission either has to approve or be work in tandem with the auditor, whoever audits our gaming. So I think that right now what we're looking at, because we don't have legislation in place, is just an audit for the nation. If you can think of another way to change that right now, then I'd like to hear it, but to me it sounds, I think it's too late at this point. So, not that I don't think it's a good idea. I just think that we missed the boat. And if we want to get on board for FY18's audit to be a comprehensive audit, then we need to do the legislative work it takes to make that happen, reviewing everybody's enacting legislation that speaks to their audits. So that's Maria's thought. So.
Well, I guess we could. It doesn't seem like there's much support for doing it this year. So we just put it off another year. But we did start on this hard enough to have done it this year. But I guess the thing that would make all the difference is how far along the gaming board is with their audit. But I think knowing that the people down there, I think they could say they're too far along, no matter where they were. So.
Okay. That's probably true. Probably a true statement. So we're still back to talking about the treasurer's question, Congressman Walker.
Okay, so I've read your letter, Treasurer Alexander, and you recommend a 3-year term for Rose Rock. Why do you think that would be beneficial to the nation rather than just a 1-year contract?
Well, if you're contemplating doing all this, it probably wouldn't be. If you're going to make some changes, you probably wouldn't want to sign a 3-year engagement letter. If you were happy with Rose Rock, and I am, it's just a little better to lock them in for 3 years. It gives them a little comfort, gives us a little comfort. If you're thinking about doing something different, though, I wouldn't do the 3-year one at all.
What type of termination clause would be part of that contract with Rose Rock? Are there any types of termination clauses in there? Like if something were to change on our end and we decided we wanted to not keep them on board for 3 years. Say we did it 1 year and legislation was passed.
Well, I think the thing to do if you're contemplating that is to do the 1-year one. And that way you wouldn't have to eliminate or, go in and amend a 3-year agreement. Just don't get into it in the first place.
Yes, please do.
And based on the last paragraph of your letter, there was no request for proposal process was done this year. Is that correct?
Say again.
There was no request, no RFP process this year for this particular professional service?
Correct.
Okay. And this isn't a leading question or anything. I'm just curious. Obviously, that's not required to retain this type of professional service to continue the work that they've already done. How does that work?
I think that once you get someone, you could do the RFP thing over again if you wanted to, but I think it'd be a waste of time if you had someone that you were comfortable with, they're current, and it's, they need to be comfortable with us too, and I believe they are. And so once you get into a thing like that, you just move with it. Keep on going. If we were to become dissatisfied with them, certainly we would do the RFP thing again.
Congressman Mason.
Wait to see, Mr. Walters.
I'm done. No.
I'm thinking of going back to what Cuggy was mentioning time-wise, and I asked our clerk as well. I said, you know, we presently are sitting here as members of this committee thinking about a major decision in regards to the audits coming up. We as a group of members, we're assured to be sitting here through July of 2018, which the makeup of this Appropriations Committee could change after that. So, Madam Speaker, in regards to a timeline, you know, we need perhaps could think of setting up something for this group, or us to decide that what we're going to do before March, April, May, before our terms are up here on this committee. Because that committee may start at point A again and go all over, but while we're here, that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Sycamore.
I would suggest that we limit the engagement for 1 year, because next year we may go to a type of audit that they're not really qualified to handle, or maybe they wouldn't even want to do it. I don't know. Or maybe they have other resistance. Or maybe the people that support this won't even be here next year. Nobody will ever work it up again. So I'd just like 1 year of this plan.
Any more comments? What was the name of this company when they sent their, didn't this company change their name? Between
Dan Bledsoe and Associates.
They were Bledsoe and Associates.
Yes, Dan Bledsoe and Associates.
Okay. Okay, because I'm looking at the RFP sheets, the scoring on that from last year. Or yes, it was a year ago. So, Mr. Alexander, it seems like we were a little bit late on the audit this year also when they performed our audit. Was that due to our offices and transitions in our offices, or was that due to Rose Rock's schedule? Why did our audit seem to get completed?
It was a little of both. Yeah, you recall that Mr. Cobb left in late January, and I was without a controller for 3 months. That was a part of it. And so once they saw that and we didn't have things ready for them, they said, we got these other audits we've got to go do. And then so when we got caught up, they came back and finished.
Okay.
So it was kind of, it was more of our deal than it was theirs.
And so are we fully prepared right now for our audit to be performed?
We'd like to have it February.
Right. I know that was what you were shooting for last time, too.
Yeah.
I thought that was a...
It means something in February. It doesn't really mean much later than that.
Right. Okay. Any more comments or discussions or... ideas how this committee should proceed? Well, I guess that our, yes, go ahead.
I think, is it time to make a motion to decide on a one-year, three-year audit is one of the reasons we're called in here today?
I think that it is. And also, one other little facet that I'd like to cover is I think that we had discussions at the beginning of the audit, I think right as it was starting last year, about changing. They perform a single audit, which is the governmental type of audit. They do a sampling of all of our federal programs, mm-hmm. right? And then they also do our tribal programs or sampling of them. And I think a component that this committee was wanting to look at, and maybe we need to have a little bit of discussion, is an audit of our accounting, an audit. I think the discussion was, is, I'm trying to think of the right words, how our law and policy and procedures are followed in our accounting process. Does anybody recall those discussions? No? Do you recall those discussions, Congressman Cicognola?
Are you asking, are we following the law?
Yes, or maybe our policy, our policies, our accounting policies and procedures. I think that that was, like the 10% movement of money that's in the Treasury bill and things like that, budget mods, I think we had discussions on that because we had discovered that some money had been used to purchase properties in SkyTube. So we were just looking at what an audit does, could do internally for our processes, not just federal regulation and guideline. We wanted them to look at tribal regulation and guidelines also. And I think we had discussion on that, and we were told by the audit firm, Rose Rock, that that would be a function of scoping out the audit. It would probably come at a higher cost, I believe is what I remember them saying. So I was wondering if anybody had any thoughts on that or recalled any discussions on that. Congressman Cicognola.
Well, I can remember different discussions on different.
You'll be next, Congressman Edwards.
Different discussions on different points, but not all one way on everything. But since you bring that up, I think we do need to make some clarifications in the law, so that things like purchasing that property, SkyTube, through a convoluted lease process needs to be changed so that can't happen again. Things of that type, is that kind of what you're thinking about? Or
right.
We have to make the change in the law.
It's just my understanding that a single audit has federal guidelines and they look for certain things of how they're compliant to the federal guidelines. I think our audit should also take into consideration how we follow our policy and procedures and Osage law and do a review on how we're doing in our own internal functions as far as our law goes. Congresswoman Edwards.
Thank you. Good morning. What I recall is that the Appropriations Committee had meetings on this after, and Red Rock representatives met with the committee. It was left that the committee would write a letter to them explaining what other additional work we were requesting that the auditors do, and they were going to give us a price, and I've asked for a copy of that letter, and I don't know that that letter was ever sent.
Okay.
So, to me, we need to follow that process again. We need to get it done. And yes, I'm in favor of, it needs to be scoped out, and it needs to, we need to know what's
Okay. So, to answer Congressman Mason's question, do we need to vote right now? I guess my question is, how will you proceed if we say if today we voted to use Red Rock for our auditor, will you then submit another engagement letter to Rose Rock with the scope of engagement, or is that more part of the RFP process?
This engagement letter is ready for execution.
Okay, and you do have an engagement letter for them right now?
Mm-hmm.
And is it?
I've sent it to the speaker.
First time.
One is for 3 years and one is for 1 year.
Okay.
So you probably,
this is the first time I've seen these documents. So do you mind if we stamp them in and distribute them? Are they our
sure,
copies?
Sure.
Okay. So do you guys want me to read to you or not?
No.
No. You say not. Okay.
Congresswoman Weisman?
Yes.
You bring up an issue since we're in the interim, and I don't recall, but I don't think that we have the authority to act. Our interim charge is to review. And I would suggest that we can be during the next special session on the 26th and take formal action, whatever we're going to do.
I'm okay to wait till then, but I believe we reviewed the rules before you got on the telephone, and it says that this committee's function is to engage the nation's auditor. Is that what that said? Approve.
Well, I agree with that. I'm saying whatever we decide to do, we need to do it on the 26th. We can talk about it.
Congressman Walker wants to know why you feel that way.
Because the Constitution says that during the interim, the Congress can only study subjects.
I'm thinking that probably has to do with legislation and not actual functions of. I mean, this isn't a legislative. We're going to approve this by a motion, not by legislation.
I don't know that that's ever been put in the interim. You'd have to ask Greg. And I don't recall making that kind of action that we're contemplating taking today when we weren't in session.
Well, let's get Trey here. He's asking that question. I think that we... I'm certain we can't do
anything.
What's
the harm in waiting a week?
Pardon me?
What's the harm in waiting 6 days?
I don't see a harm, but we're meeting on it today, so.
Who said there was harm?
I said I don't see any harm in waiting.
Well, I know what she implied, that somebody said there was harm or something.
I don't see any harm in waiting, but this is the subject that's on our table today. The letter was sent by the treasurer on the 20th of a month ago. Is today the 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was sent a month ago to us to review and take action on. Trey's headed this way, though, and we'll see if we can take action or not. I would like to have the opportunity to review the engagement letter since I have not seen it. I guess the clerk has it. So that would be the only thing. Is there any more comment on that?
Well, and if we want to expand within the nation's audit, I think that's when the president will start talk about that and get that into the news.
Congressman Superdome.
Well, I've got a question, and I think it pertains to this, but I'm kind of confused on the timelines. When should we, asking the treasurer, when we should, if we're going to be engaged in the developing the indirect cost budget, when would that start? And it's too late to do it for 18, I guess. So when would we start on that next for 19?
What do you want to, what do you want to do?
Be after the audit is completed, right? For, it would be after the audit for 17 is completed, which would be, the target for that would be February next year. That's when we should start on the indirect cost budget, isn't it?
Yeah, if you'd like to do that.
So, well, I think that's what we do want to do this year, to be more involved in as a part of the budget process.
That's been the discussion at many committee tables, is to be more involved in that process, yes.
So, see, I'm getting confused on the timelines. That wouldn't be a part of this RFP here. You know, do you say anything in there about the indirect cost budget?
Who, for her?
Huh?
For the auditors?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so that's a separate thing that we need to look at, I guess.
Yes, I think so. I think so. So I guess we're, as a committee, are we going to take a vote on this today, or do we, my question is, do we want to review the engagement letter and see if we can broaden any of the scope of it, or do we want to just go ahead and accept this engagement letter sight unseen and go with Rosemont? That's my only question right now, I think, that's on the table of this committee.
Well, it's customary to just fly blind, but I think we should look at it.
Okay, all right. So, now that I have this, where are those letters, Shanna? Do I have?
She's making copies right now.
Okay.
Trey's doing some research before he comes up here.
Okay.
We can read the letter. Get it. Recommendation from Trey.
What time is it? Because there's a meeting after
ours. 10:09.
And what time does, it starts at 11?
Okay, we could recess.
Okay. I don't know, if you want to call for a recess, you could call for a recess. We could find out our information we need to find out.
I don't see why we wouldn't. We could, if we decide we want to not make a decision today, do it next week, we can reconvene and adjourn. I make a motion to recess to the call of the chair.
The motion to recess. There's.
Can I ask, is the purpose of the recess is to read this and maybe act on it today? Or?
That's one option.
Well, what was the reason? What do you want to do?
I want to recess and read the letter and see what Trey's opinion is on making decisions in the interim.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to recess. All in favor, any discussion? All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We are in recess to the call of the chair. We're going to review this engagement letter and get an opinion from our legal counsel.